The person who promoted this idea of one-sided semi-skepticism is Sir Dr. Professor Karl Raimund Popper, who may be the only philosopher of science who is actually read and discussed by actors in the real world, though not as enthusiastically by professional philosophers. As I am writing these lines, a black-and-white picture of him is hanging on the wall of my study. It was a gift I got in Munich from the essayist Jochen Wegner, who, like me, considers Popper to be about all we've got among modern thinkers. Well, almost. He writes to us, not to other philosophers. We are the empirical decision-makers who hold that uncertainty is our discipline, and that understanding how to act under conditions of incomplete information is the highest and most urgent human pursuit. Popper generated a large-scale theory around this asymmetry, based on a technique called falsification. To falsify is to prove wrong, meant to distinguish between science and non-science. And people immediately started splitting hairs about its technicalities, even though it is not the most interesting or the most original of Popper's ideas. This idea about the asymmetry of knowledge is so liked by practitioners because it is obvious to them. It is the way they run their business. The philosopher Maudit Charles Sanders Peirce, who, like an artist, got only posthumous respect, also came up with a version of this black swan solution when Popper was wearing diapers. Some people even called it the Peirce-Popper approach. Popper's far more powerful and original idea is the open society, one that relies on skepticism as a modus operandi, refusing and resisting definitive truths. He accused Plato of closing our minds, according to the arguments I've described. But Popper's biggest idea was his insight concerning the fundamental, severe, and incurable unpredictability of the world. And that I will leave for the chapter on prediction. Neither Peirce nor Popper was the first to come up with this asymmetry. The philosopher Victor Brochard mentioned the importance of negative empiricism in 1878, as if it were a matter held by the empiricist to be the sound way to do business. Ancients understood it implicitly. Out-of-print books deliver many surprises. Of course, it isn't so easy to falsify, i.e., to state that something is wrong with full certainty. Imperfections in your testing method may yield a mistaken no. The doctor discovering cancer cells might have faulty equipment, causing optical illusions. Or he could be a bell curve-using economist disguised as a doctor. An eyewitness to a crime might be drunk. But it remains the case that you know what is wrong with a lot more confidence than you know what is right. All pieces of information aren't equal in importance. Popper introduced the mechanism of conjectures and refutations, which works as follows. You formulate a bold conjecture, and you start looking for the observation that would prove you wrong. This is the alternative to our search for confirmatory instances. If you think the task is easy, you will be disappointed. Few humans have a natural ability to do this. I confess that I'm not one of them. It doesn't come naturally to me.